people, and for the executive branch employees, that's the governor's people who are not covered, and for the supervisory bargaining unit, per their recently concluded negotiations, for the all of the Class 1 employees of the GGU, the General Government Bargaining Unit. Mr. Speaker, I think that this is a good thing to include in here, given the late date of the session and the deep concern that that these people may fall through the cracks. And so I think this is a wonderful opportunity to cover them, give them a great deal of assurance, and I can't hardly see how anybody could be against this amendment. Thank you, sir.
Ready for the question? Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, I just had a question, I guess, for the maybe one some of the members of finance who might be here, if they could explain to me how these amounts will be funded, or if, in fact, these will have to be funded by a supplemental coming along next year, or are they yet to show up in another document or bill that's pending before us? I'm just concerned about how these people are, I mean, this money will get into the budget so these things can be funded and taken care of, or are we short funding by this amount at this time unless we do have something in the hopper? If I know it's coming up someplace else, I think it'll make a difference to me, but if it's not, then maybe this is the best vehicle to take care of it on. I just think the body needs to be apprised of that before we vote.
Ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall Amendment Number 38 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Mr. Gall.
Yes to no.
Mr. Gall changes from yes to no. Any other member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
12 yeas, 24 nays.
Amendment 38 failed. Clerk, please read Amendment 39.
Amendment 39 by Lehman, and it starts on page 76 after line 1.
Mr. Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, I move Amendment Number 39.
Objection. Mr. Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, this is probably one of the best bargains that I think I've seen in a long time in terms of it's a small portion of a project on the Copper River Road. And this entire project of the Copper River Road is one that we heard in Transportation Committee earlier this session. And I know the total amount for that project is considerably more than this. But what this does is make another 10 miles of road, it opens up another 10 miles of road just with a fairly small amount of money, a fairly small investment. I don't know how many of you have been out to Cordova, have driven past the airport and continuing on down the road. The airport is, I think, about mile 13, and the what's known as the Million Dollar Bridge is at approximately mile 49. And this bridge, actually, it would be two bridges. There's a south branch of the river, and the north branch of the river is at approximately mile 59. And since 1973, there's been very little maintenance done on that section of road until the past two or three years, where DOT has gone in and done a little bit of maintenance on the road. This bridge would then open up and enable the crossing over to the next portion of the road north. It's one of the exciting parts about it is that the materials, or nearly all the materials, are existing nearly on site. They're along the road. There's some modular concrete pieces that some of my friends who are working on the project, some of the other engineers in DOT, are saying we can take those and combine them in and do a bridge project, save a lot of money, the materials exist, and construction itself is somewhere in the order of $350,000 with the geotechnical investigations, the design, the engineering work on it, and the oversight of construction. $500,000 can build these two bridges. That's a bargain. I've done some work in designing a bridge. Actually, it's another bridge. At least at the time, it was a bridge of nowhere in Valdez, the Mineral Creek Bridge. But it was, I believe, that cost of that bridge was considerably more than this. Probably funded through the capital budget at the time, maybe a couple million dollars. But for $500,000, a real bargain. I think this is, if we don't pass this, it would be a real oversight. I just note that quite a few, the majority of the people in Cordova would be supportive of this. There's also fairly good support in Valdez. I understand Kenny Lake, Chittenden, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce, the Prince William Sound Tourism Coalition, and the Copper Basin Chamber of Commerce. I would think if we passed this bill, Mr. Speaker, they would say thanks a million, or maybe thanks half a million. I urge its passage.
Ready for the question? Question for the House shall. Mr. Taylor, you have the floor.
I just had a question. I know we're
talking about the Allen River Bridge here on State Route Number 10. Is there a name for this other bridge? And if not, maybe we should take the opportunity here to make sure that bridge gets named while we're doing it.
Question for the House is shall. Mr. Lehman?
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted to. I guess I didn't specify the names. It's the Allen River, but there's the southern portion and the northern portion. I don't know that they have names, but I do have a file folder in here that has some names, so if the member's interested, we can discuss it at an of these.
Question for the House is, shall amendment number 39 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
14 yeas, 22 nays.
Amendment 39 has failed. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 40 by Schultz, and it's regarding $1,700,000.
Yes, Mr. Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move amendment number 40 and ask unanimous consent.
His objection. Mr. Schultz.
Mr. Speaker, I'm sure again that I may or may not stray from the subject from time to time. I'd ask for a little indulgence from the body on that. As I've gone through this process and listening to this bill, I probably have been as mad as I've ever been in the 8 years that I've been down here in the legislature when it comes to this rail bill and the way the money is being spent. Today, I received, and you folks have received, POMs talking about electrification project to Denali Park. I know that the Anchorage and Fairbanks legislators have been meeting and talking about the development of South Face. At one time, there was $14 million in the budget for that project. These kinds of things can't become a reality in the state of Alaska. And they cannot become functional in the state of Alaska until we get the distribution lines established. This provides electricity for approximately 500 people. It doesn't take the electricity to their homes, but it provides a distribution system down the highway corridor and allows them to spend $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, depending on however far they live off the road, to be able to access that power. It provides them the ability to get electricity. We have hundreds of millions of dollars worth of interties passing over these people's heads, and they do not have electricity. They're still burning propane. They're still burning kerosene lamps. It's just, think about it. I mean, it's just not right that we're spending the Rail Belt energy money in things other than for these kinds of people. Like I said, I've gone the gamut on this thing. I've become so frustrated with this whole process and the way that these projects have been put together. I'm frustrated because there are more significant projects there. This is one of them that need to be funded for this state to develop. The vote that we took just a few minutes ago on the contracts, we didn't fund that. And if I think that I'm going to get these projects through, I'm crazier than hell. Okay? And I don't stand a snowball's chance in hell, and I know I don't. But it doesn't make any difference, Mr. Speaker, because it's right. It's the right use of the money. It is the proper use of the money. It is the intent in which we intended to spend the money. we wanted to spend it in this manner. We wanted to provide services to people and energy to people that presently do not have it. And we're not doing it. Mr. Speaker, I would ask, and this figure has been reduced down to $1.7 million. This provides an opportunity to allow these people an opportunity to begin enjoying the lifestyles and the lifestyle of the people of urban Alaska and of the people that live where they have access to these kinds of what we all consider basic needs. And I would appreciate your support.
Ready for the question? Question for the House, shall amendment number 40 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
15 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment 40 has failed. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 41 by Schultz, and it's in the amount of $350,000 relating to.
Mr. Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move amendment 41 and ask unanimous consent.
Objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a project in the Tok area that would allow for an upgrade at the same time that the backscatter program is going in. I expounded on this earlier. Had we done this, the distribution line to Chistochina, we would have been able to provide a revenue base that would have been very significant in the future. We got an opportunity to do that very thing in the Tok area by upgrading this particular utility. So I would only ask that in conjunction with the construction that's going to be going on in the Tok area with the backscatter, and with a community that is, in fact, the first community that you come to. People from Northway don't like to hear me say that, but the first community that you pass through coming in to the state of Alaska is Tok, and they are in dire need of some upgrade and safety upgrades in that Tok area, and I'd appreciate your support. And it falls within the appropriate use of the rail belt energy monies.
Ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall amendment number 41 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
15 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment 41 failed. Clerk, please read amendment 42.
Amendment 42 by Schultz, and it's to the project titled Copper River School District, Glen Allen.
Mr. Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move amendment number 42 and ask unanimous consent.
Objection, Mr. Schultz.
Mr. Speaker, I have, as you know, five school districts in my particular school district, and I have backup here that would exceed, which I did not share with the body, and I'd be glad to share it with anyone that would like to do so, but I'm sure that you don't want me to spend the time having this duplicated and hand out to the members. However, I would share it with anyone that would like to see it. I have requests here from the Copper River School District for life safety upgrades, for electricity needs, water sewer needs, small capital projects, roof repair, ceiling and tile, etc. As a matter of fact, in the Finance Committee, I circulated a picture of a school that was at Solana, and that amendment is coming along. These are the kinds of things that I need to spend these monies on to help with the kids and the students in this school district to be able to go to school in a safer environment in which they're presently going. And I would appreciate your support.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I've had the privilege of serving with a representative from Tok for a number of years, and I feel I've come to know quite a lot about the district he represents. Beyond that, from time to time, I do have an opportunity to pass through that particular area of the state. And these are people that are, by their very nature, very independent and very helping people. And they don't like to turn to the state for help when they can help it, but certainly the Copper River School District, Glen Allen, that's part of the state's responsibility. And at least the representative isn't asking that these funds come out of the Rail Belt Energy Fund. So I would very much like to support him in his need for the $200,000 for the schools that are in that particular area.
Are you ready for the question? Question for the House is, shall Amendment Number 42 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
15 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment 42 is failed. Will the clerk read Amendment 43?
Amendment 43 by Schultz to project titled Project 1992 Tok Chamber of Commerce.
Mr. Schultz.
Mr. Speaker, I would move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There's objection, Mr. Schultz.
Mr. Speaker, I do not recall whether I offered this amendment in finance, but to show you some kinds of the of problems that I'm being faced with, and I know that other legislators are being faced with also, we have a small visitor facility that was put up by the Chamber of Commerce. As a matter of fact, it was the first visitor center ever established in the state of Alaska. And it's a trailer. And it's been reconditioned and has been remodeled by the people that live in that community. And it sits beside the old original jailhouse. But it doesn't have any restroom facilities. It has no water, it has no sewer, and it sits in the middle of town. And as a result of that, the vision of tourism, the interagency people, which there's approximately eight of them, National Park Service, State Park Service, troopers, DEC, etc., that help run this thing, are in the process of potentially shutting that thing down and not allowing the people to go over there because they do not have water, and because they do not have a sewer. They do not have a place where a visitor can walk in, look around at the various things that they may have to display. They do not have restrooms, not one, not any. They don't have an outhouse. This is the money that is needed to correct that problem. Thank you.
You ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall Amendment 43 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
14 yeas, 22 nays.
Amendment 43 is failed. Clerk, please read Amendment Number 44.
Amendment Number 44 by Schultz to project titled Tok School.
Mr. Schultz.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There's objection.
Mr. Speaker, if you'll recall, a few years ago, as the Department of Education was going through their priority list, one of the criteria that they had was that a school that was in a phase process got funded, and they would continue that funding process up until the school was completed. Well, Tok has been in phase four now for many, many years. And we have a school that we will probably get a foundation and some footings put down this year on. But since the handwriting is on the wall, and it doesn't appear that we're ever going to be able, over the next few years, to be able to come up with the adequate funding. And by the way, the present school in the Tok area and I see where we're replacing schools that are 15 and 20 years old. The school in Tok is over 40 years old, people. The roof is leaking. The roof has come apart in several areas. And we need this money to be able to redesign a school to scale down the facility so that we may have an opportunity to come up with a funding for it. We have put approximately $4 million into this school up at this point in time. And you know the tragic thing is, if you start looking at this and looking at it very seriously, we had a school that was 172, and I think I said that earlier, 172 in the state of Alaska, Fort Wainwright. And it's funded. It's funded. How did it get funded? Why did it get funded? How did it take the place of other schools in the state of Alaska? And we can all look around, and we know how it happened. Pure, simple politics. It had nothing to do with what is right. It had nothing to do with need. It had nothing to do with kids. It had nothing to do with judgment. It was pure, plain politics. And as a result of that, my schools that I've had in the district that have been on priority lists, sometimes high, and through the political process, get eliminated for some other school because someone has a higher ranking within this body. And I understand that. I understand politics. I can live with it. I'm not crying about it. I'm just saying, folks, it's not right. It's not the right the way we're doing business. This is a good and proper expenditure of state money and of rail belt money.
Thank you for the question. Is the call satisfied? Members may proceed. The question before the House, shall amendment number 44 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
15 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment 44 has failed. Clerk, read amendment number 45.
Amendment 45 by Schultz to project titled Kenny Lake Fire Truck Repair.
Mr. Schultz.
Mr. Speaker, I want to move amendment. What number is it? 45?
45.
45 and ask unanimous consent.
This objection.
I hear objection. And what I'm going to do with this amendment is more than likely pull it. But before I do, I'm going to leave the motion on the floor because I want to talk about it for a second. We got a fire department over in Kenny Lake. They've been holding spaghetti feet. And the people contacted me and said they've been holding spaghetti feeds all winter. People now are donating money so they don't have to go to spaghetti feeds. I'm very serious. This is exactly what they told me. And you know the problem they got? They got a fire truck and the engine blew up. Responding to a fire. So the fire trucks had to come out of Glen Allen, which they got there, and it did, the place did burn down. Anyway, they got the truck in Anchorage right now, and they're trying to get it repaired. And it's going to cost them something like $9,000 to $10,000, and they need $6,000 to repair that fire truck. Yeah. And we are spending millions and millions and millions of dollars. And we can't fund something like this, a fire truck. For God's sake, it's grim. It really is. It's terrible. But we let it happen to ourselves. You know, I wouldn't be making these kinds of amendments, I wouldn't be standing before this body talking on things that I know that I can't get through. But I'm going to withdraw this one.
Is your objection?
Check.
If there's objection, the person offered the amendment wishes to withdraw the amendment. Is that correct? Yes. Mr. Taylor?
On the objection, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir. You have the floor, Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, I just was trying to take another look at it here. That's an awful lot of money. I mean, $6,000.
Mr. Taylor, your remarks are not in order unless they address the motion before the body is to withdraw the motion.
I would hesitate to allow something that large to be withdrawn without adequate debate. So I would ask the maker of the motion to please leave that one on there, because I think we need to have a vote to show the magnitude and the depth of this discussion.
Mr. Schultz?
Yes, I'll leave it there.
All right. Are you ready for the question?
I just want to say these amendments probably would not have been offered had people at least left what little bit that was going to go into the district alone, and they'd have left my discretionary money alone, and if they'd left me with the discretion to spend that money in my district in the manner in which I felt was appropriate.
Ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall Amendment Number 45 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Mr. Gall? Mr. Gall changes from yes to no. Any other member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
15 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment 45 has failed. Clerk, please read Amendment 46.
Amendment 46 by Schultz in the relating to $250,000.
Mr. Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move Amendment Number 46 and ask unanimous consent. Yes. Mr. Speaker, this particular appropriation, and I did expound on this somewhat in the Finance Committee, this particular appropriation is for a school, for a group of students, kids, over in the Healy Lake area. And please don't confuse that with Healy, because it's not even close to Healy. It's Healy Lake. It's outside of Delta. And that community's been in existence for many years, but the people do not have a school there. So the people have been moving into Fairbanks and going to Fairbanks to work, etc., even though there's plenty of things to do there, they do not have a place to put their kids. The Delta Greeley School District is willing to provide a service over there. The community is willing to give up their community hall for a school, and that's exactly what this is all about. This has to do with the renovation of a community hall at Healy Lake that would allow these people an opportunity. They would put a teacher over there to have a school in that area. This money at one time I appropriated in a capital budget, and I guess it's appropriate to speak to past governors. Sheffield vetoed. How he could do that, I don't know. What sense of logic he had to make a veto of a school. We weren't coming in and asking for millions of dollars. We were asking for, at that time, was $150,000. It was vetoed. Through design and what have you, to make the community hall the best facility that we possibly can for a school, it's going to cost $250,000. The school, I believe, if we can get it funded, this is going to probably be the cheapest that you'll ever see a school started. This school very clearly falls under the Toplik decree. under the Molly Hooch. And I've got one other school that also falls into that category. And that's an amendment that's coming up. When there was another senator from the other body years ago, a few years ago, was here, when he would put up a capital list of schools that fell under the Toplik consent, the Toplik decree, nobody ever questioned those schools, why they were needed, or the dollar amounts. I even had schools that were built within those capital projects that he put together. And now, I got a school setting here, and we're not even asking for the Department of Education to get behind this thing and to force or try to push the issue under for construction under the Toplik consent. But rather, we're saying for $250,000, we're going to put a teacher out there, we're going to take books, and we're going to provide a classroom atmosphere for the students in Healy Lake. And that's what this amendment is about.
You ready for the question? Question before the House. Shall amendment number 46 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
15 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment 46 has failed. Clerk, please read amendment 47.
Amendment 47 by Schultz in the amount of $2,900,000.
Mr. Schultz.
It's a mere pittance, my man. Move the amendment and ask unanimous consent. Was there objection?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thought maybe I caught a sleeper there. Mr. Speaker, this isn't a sleeper at all. This is a school. This is a community that was created by government. This is a community that actually existed, but it existed with maybe three or four people living in a 12, 15-mile area. James Watts flew over this area a few years ago, must have looked out of the plane, said where would be a bad place to build, pointed down at Solana, said let's have a federal land disposal, and they did. And now we got people living there, lots of people. This land, I'm very serious, this land was disposed of for $2.50 an acre. It was advertised in Mother Earth magazine and other publications throughout the state of Alaska, or out throughout the United States. As a result of that, we now have a community, and the Copper River School District is providing educational services out there. And I had a packet that I passed around in Finance Committee with the pictures of that school and the overcrowded conditions that we have in the classroom. There's in excess of 450 people that are presently residing in that area. It really doesn't have an economy. It doesn't have electricity. It doesn't have roads. This was just a land disposal that someone decided to have, and the people are just making do with what they got. But you got a lot of kids there, and you got to provide an education for them. So they put up a makeshift school in that area, and they got a teacher out there that is teaching and doing an excellent job, from what I understand. And this school clearly, and the numbers are getting up there pretty high in that school, clearly follows under the Toplik consent decree. And this is a very appropriate place and a very appropriate use of the rail belt money.
Ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall amendment 47 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. please take the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Does the clerk take the roll?
15 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment 47's failed. Clerk, read Amendment 48.
Amendment 48 by Schultz to Tolk Roads Upgrade Rehabilitation.
Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Amendment number 48 passed unanimous consent. Yes. Mr. Speaker, on the Tolk Roads in the Tolk area, there has been more land disposed of per capita, than anywhere in the state of Alaska. It's a fact. And when we have a land disposal, we do what? We dispose of the land, we do not provide the roads, electricity, or anything else. We have, I believe, that if all the people that own land in the Tolk area moved to Tolk, we would probably be the third largest community in the state. I'm very serious. We've got a lot of land that is in private ownership. More land disposals per capita, more acres disposed of than anywhere in the state of Alaska. And we've made no commitments to roads. Presently, off of those land sales, they're generating approximately $300,000 a year that's going in as payments from the land that people have acquired. Some of it has been homestead land, some of it has been open to entry land, some of it's home site land, some of it was given away, some of it was bought, etc. But it generates about $300,000. None of that money, Mr. Speaker, comes back into that community to build roads, to provide any kind of services. And you might say, well, that's a responsibility for that community. And they are assuming that responsibility, and they are building roads. But at the same time, those are the kinds of things that you expect in your districts. You expect roads built. You expect the kinds of conveniences that you have, maybe water, sewer, things of that nature. We'll never have that in the Tolk area. We'll never have water, sewer. Never. Never in my lifetime. I'll never see the Tolk cutoff electrified in my lifetime. But we still got a commitment. We got a commitment to do something. Either that or stop disposing of the land. Stop disposing of the land and make the people pay when they pay for the land, have the roads built, and attach the assessment or the value of that road to the price per acre. As you know as well as I know, that once you dispose of land and the people move in and you got 15, 20, 30 people move in, they have children, etc., and they're walking 2 miles to a school bus, 3 miles through the woods to a school bus, you're going to build a road. And then you're going to provide a school bus route. And so the prices keep going up. And why don't we do it to start with? This is the kind of program that this money would go into.
Ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall Amendment number 48 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the clerk take the roll?
15 yeas, 21 nays.
Amendment 48 has failed. Would the clerk please read Amendment number 49?
Amendment number 49 by Schultz to project title Northway Village Safe Water.
Mr. Schultz.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move Amendment number 49 and ask unanimous consent.
His objection, Mr. Schultz.
Mr. Speaker, I was hoping... Well, he is here. Good. I'm glad to see Mr. Silas in the audience here, because he is from Northway, and this is the community that we're talking about. And so should any people maybe question whether I know what I'm talking about, you might check with him. He's lived there a lot of years. Northway is a community that just up until a few years ago finally got a school. Won a couple of state basketball championships since then, girls and boys. Doing an excellent job. But we got a community in Northway, which is right down 2 miles down from the FAA station, that doesn't have water. doesn't have water. And I have letters here from Tanana chiefs that have said that this is a very high priority for them. And before I was messed with my discretionary dollars, out of the $260,000 that they're requesting for this, I was going to be able to put in approximately $30,000 to that, to maybe get a well drilled and to maybe get something put over so the people would have access to a central place within the community to where they could go and get water. But because I was messed with, I've got other words for it, but since I was dealt with or dealt out of and my discretionary funds were decided as to how they were going to be spent, now that project has probably gone by the wayside, more than likely has. But these people deserve, this has been a very high priority for years. I helped put money originally into the clinic. I helped put money into the well that has gone dry. And the reason the wells have gone dry is because we haven't had enough money to drill the wells deep enough. And there are some successful wells in the area. In fact, there's many. FAA has got one, okay? And it's federal. And that's where the people are going now to get their water. Either that or the river to gather their water from. But the FAA is thinking about, because of the inspections and things that they've done, that water and the problems that they've got with that many people coming in on a daily basis and getting water, the FAA is thinking about shutting that thing down. Then what are the people going to do for water? Get it all out of the river? This would provide a mechanism for them to be able to have village safe water and to move their clinic over that particular well and be able to provide health and safety services to the people in Northway. The thing has been pretty extensively looked at. DEC has had it as a priority. Obviously, not enough high a priority, or it got funded, right? It would have been in the capital, in the governor's budget. Or it would have been in DEC's budget. They would have had it in there as a high priority. But again, what happens there? Gets political. The departments get political. The department heads and so on and so forth go through the best intentions of saying, hey, this is a good project, this is a needed project. But as it works itself through the process, that trickles out the end is political. You know it, and I know it. But it still doesn't make it right. These people deserve water. They need it. And I would ask you to support this.
Mr. Lehman?
Mr. Speaker, I just want to rise in support of my friend from Tok's request here. I think, as a lot of you know, that I've done a lot of work around the state just in the area of making sure people have a safe drinking water supply. And I don't know that there's anything more important, too much more important in terms of public services that we can provide than just to make sure that at least there's a safe watering point. And in this case, I believe that his request is real. It's not certainly not outrageous. And in rising in support, I have to be careful that or overcome my tendency to be political, because he mentioned the state basketball championships that the team from Northway has acquired in the. One of those years, a team from Northway did very well, and the team that I had taken into the tournament got beat by the team from Northway. And they were expected to win, if I recall correctly, except they got beat by a very fine ball club from Cake. But in spite of that, I think it's still a request that deserves our support.
Ready for the question? Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker. Throughout the debate, if we can call it that, this afternoon, we have been talking about amendments. We're now on number 49.
I have yet to hear, other than one trite comment made a long time ago on another amendment, I've yet
Mr.
to hear
Mr. Taylor,
one.
You're out of order. Would you please address the amendment?
I'm addressing this amendment. Not heard yet on this floor one single reason why a member of this body should vote against the Northway Village Safe Water Program. There must be tremendous reasons out there to vote against this thing. I haven't heard one of them. And I guess it's sad if, in fact, those reasons do exist and they're not going to be expressed on this floor, because that will leave many of us in doubt as to why the vote may have come out the way it does. I have no way of knowing what that vote may be and wouldn't try to predict it. But if, in fact, this amendment does not succeed, and I will certainly support it, because everything I've heard today in the process of having an open meeting here that is recorded for the public by our good clerk, have been very affirmative comments about why Mr. Silas, sitting in the audience in his community, should receive a safe water appropriation and have a well dug a little deeper. That seems like a very good reason for me for spending $260,550 of state funds. A much more valid reason, I might add, than many of the projects that I see within the budget. Now, if in fact there are reasons that are in opposition to this, I think it's only important that this body have an opportunity to hear those reasons, and that since we have a member of that community here in the audience today, that he be afforded the opportunity to hear why his community should not have such a water system.
Mr. Schultz, prime sponsor of the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Northway community, I can tell you one thing. It's you people probably often hear it on TV mentioned quite a bit, because usually that's where, whenever if it's 50 below in Fairbanks, it'll be 60 or 70 below in Northway, and that's just the way it is. I believe that Northway can probably be considered the coldest inhabited spot on the North American continent. And I don't think there's probably a lot of question to that. And these people don't have a well. They don't have water. Imagine what it's like in wintertime and trying to go out river, cut a hole in the ice, get the water out, etc. Or starting your car when it's 65 below zero, or trying to start a car, get on the snow machine to go down to the FAA to get water. Mr. Speaker, I'll tell you what, what makes me mad, really mad, about this whole thing, is that we take money, and we're looking, I'm just looking right down here on a page, under section 153, $2.6 million for the Kenai Peninsula Borough for a solid waste disposal facility. And for God's sake, couldn't $260,000 be taken out of that to fund this? Couldn't it? Couldn't $260,000 be taken out of the rail cars, the coal cars, to fund a water system, water for people? Couldn't it? I mean, is it so concrete? Has the deal been set so hard, etched in marble and come down from the mount? Is it so etched and is so ironclad that you can't crack into it just a little bit? That you can't get just a project out of there that makes some sense, that helps people? You can't? Seriously, how do you come up with these figures? We look at we're asking here for $260,000. $260,000. This thing is $115 million. We're spending money on neighborhood revitalization programs. My people could care less about their damn revitalization programs. And if they can't
And if they need $2.5 million for a neighborhood revitalization program, my God, can't they spare $260,000 so that 500 people can have water? I mean, are they that damn greedy? Serious. I'm very serious. Aren't this body collectively that damn greedy that they can't give up some of this stuff for things that are actual needs? I honestly can't believe this. I've got some other amendments that I'm going to talk about. But Mr. Speaker, like I said, the other day I was mad. And I'm getting mad again about this whole thing. I've been frustrated, mad, frustrated, mad. And I'm getting mad again. And because I see projects like this kind of come along, and that there is no reason why they can't be funded. None. Absolutely none. People deserve a right. They deserve a right to the same kinds of things every citizen of this state deserves a right to be treated equally. They deserve the right to fair and honest treatment by this body. And it's not happening, Mr. Speaker. It's not happening. And I'm disappointed. I really am. I am very, very, very disappointed. And I would ask you to, for God's sakes, consider what you're doing. You can find $260,000 out of this budget easily. Easily. And it wouldn't jeopardize a single solitary thing. There wouldn't be one less rail car or coal car was purchased. There wouldn't be any less fire training facility built. There wouldn't be any less congregate housing completed. And the university, $23 million. Do you think they can? And then I heard in finance, that's phase one. I'm serious. Phase one. I can build a community for $23 million. And this is phase one. Phase one. $23 million for a project that isn't going to get completed. That's great, huh? Not going to be completed.
Mr. Schultz, you're not talking about the amendment.
$23 million. Yes, I am, Mr. Speaker.
No,
because we're spending $23 million, and I'm asking for $260,000. And I can easily find it. And that's what I'm saying. And I appreciate your support.
Ready for the question? Mr. Phillips?
Mr. Speaker, I do believe that the member from Tote does deserve an answer. Part of the leadership is taking the responsibility explaining for your actions. And I really do believe that he should at least the very courtesy of explaining why the body's going to take its action that it's going to do here in a few minutes. It's just beyond me. This person's representing at least 10,000 people, and his constituents deserve an answer at least. You might want to vote against him or for him, whatever, but he and his people need an answer, and they deserve an answer.
Mr. Kopanen?
Thank you. I'd like to note that the member is a member of the Finance Committee and has been through the capital and operating budget process, and many of these questions have been raised. Some of them have not. There are some items that haven't been raised before. There is, of course, in the statewide public health and safety natural DNR budget, $800,000 for safe drinking water allocated. There are grants to different communities, Heidelberg, for example, in this. I noticed that in the same area that there, the representative had control of budgets for dust control, for Tok area moose brush crushing, various minor grants and other things, a large amount of it, and we are not responsible for the priorities that he sets on some of the projects with the money that he did have. And the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of Environmental Conservation do give us a priority list, and we try to fund as many of those projects as possible.
Mr. Schultz?
I'd like to note that this discussion is very difficult to reply because the co-chair of the Finance Committee, who is in charge of the capital budget and could answer all of these questions, is, of course, in conference committee at this point. And so I presume that a lot of these questions are being asked rhetorically, since it's quite evident that the person with the data is not here.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Schultz.
First of all, I'd appreciate it. I didn't catch the last remark that the lad over in the corner said.
Mr. I Schultz. Said that the person who has the data, who is the co-chair of the Finance Committee in charge of capital, who could reply to your questions, is not here. It's fairly clear that he's not here since he's in the conference committee.
Let's get back to the amendment. Mr. Schultz, on amendment number 49, do you have additional comments on amendment number 49?
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to comment to the previous speaker because he brought something up. And it has something to do with the priorities within my district. And he mentioned dust control. And let me tell you something. You're damn right it went into dust control. That road is 7 miles long. It's probably one of the worst roads in the state of Alaska. You got people living alongside of it. We're going to put calcium chloride on it. Representative from Fairbanks, that's what we're going to do.
I think you've made your point, Mr. Schultz. I'd appreciate I would appreciate it if you would address your remarks to amendment number 49. That would be in order.
He also brought up.
Mr. Majority Leader, on your point of order.
Speaker, if the representative from Tok, Chicken, Eagle, wherever else, would like an at ease to discuss something with the member from Fairbanks, I would encourage that. If he wishes to persist out of order, Mr. Speaker, I'd encourage you to bring it back into order.
Please proceed in order, Mr. Schultz. I think we're making an honest attempt to hear you out here, and I'd appreciate it if you would address your remarks to the amendment before us.
Okay. Mr. Speaker, I am going to do that, and I'm addressing the remarks on this. The money is needed, and I would appreciate it if you would have ruled the representative from Fairbanks out of order, because he was not talking about it. Go.
Question.
Yeah.
You have the floor, Mr. Schultz.
Oh, I thought we had another person standing up.
Okay. At this point, I'll make sure that you have a chance to have your say on amendment number 49 here and ask you to proceed in order.
Mr. Speaker, for all the reasons that I gave earlier, this amendment is an appropriate amendment. These people have a right to be able to have water. And I'm saying, and without straying from it, that there's ample money in this budget to be able to accommodate their needs if, in fact, this body sees it as a clear enough priority.
Further comments on amendment number 49. Mr. Martin.
Yes, thank you very much. Mr. Speaker, on amendment number 41, I really believe this is the very, very basics of what government is all about, to help people where they are needed. And especially in water, fundamental things of roads, we've always done that since America became America, had communal emphasis and pulling together to help each other in times of need.
Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Would you address amendment number 49, please?
That's what we're saying. We're here to help people who need help. They need water. I'm willing to vote on having this appropriation to bring water into the community. Perhaps, Mr. Speaker, as the gentleman from Fairbanks said, that the reason there's no response to it is that one member's not here, but there's seven other members on the committee that may enlighten us as to why this amendment is not approved by them. I mean, what happened to the other six members on the committee? They were asleep or what?
Are you ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall amendment number 49 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Every member voted. Mr. Gall, would you please vote? Clerk will lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
15 yeas, 21 nays.
Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 50 by Schultz, and the project title is Interior Region EMS.
Mr. Schultz?
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment as unanimous consent.
Objection. Mr. Schultz, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment, and if people wonder where and how, because my motives were questioned a while ago as to where I spend my capital money and where I spend my discretionary money and where I spend my reappropriation money by the gentleman from Fairbanks, he questioned that. Had they spent a little bit of money on those kinds of things, they wouldn't have had the moose kill that they have along the railroad tracks today. And we're doing a great job with that. So that's reasonable.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Now,
I've got no idea how this applies to the subject of this particular amendment, and I'd like to hear about the amendment, not something else.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Schultz.
The previous speaker is exactly right.
Well,
I just had to make a point.
Mr. Schultz, again,
on this amendment,
please address the amendment that's before you.
On this amendment, Mr. Speaker, in my capital budget, every year that I've been in the legislature, I take money out and put it into EMS. Every year. Every single solitary year since I've been in the legislature, I take money and put it in EMS. Because these people, we have tourists, tour buses, we had some that upset on the Taylor Highway, one person killed. We've had some accidents around the Tok area with buses upsetting, et cetera, Parks Highway, the Denali on the incident, et cetera. Those response vehicles and the equipment that has been purchased by money that was made available through this legislative body and through capital appropriations that I made. Okay. And it provides a service to you. You travel through the district, and the people that respond to accidents, they're out there. And I think it's a wise, and I think it's a good investment of money to be able to put it into these kinds of things. But because, Mr. Speaker, but because someone was screwing around with me, and took my discretionary money away from me.
Mr. Schultz,
I'm
going to plead with you to address the amendments that are before us. I'm not sure what your goal is, but our goal is to make sure you're heard today on the amendments you've presented. Please address those amendments.
Mr. Speaker, that's the reason that they're before you, is because of the reasons that I stated earlier. And I would like to be able to have some funding to be able to accomplish those needs, because I think it's going to save lives. Thank you.
You ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall amendment number 50?
Sir, I think we
Mr.
have
Mr. Lehman, do you wish to have the floor?
Yes, sir. I believe we have a member off the floor.
Yes, you're correct.
I think we're under a call.
Yeah, we're under a call. We'll wait for the member to return. We'll stand at ease until...
you want a lot of fun, we could divide the issue, Mr. Speaker.
Non-divisible. Schultz, you wish for?
Well, Mr. Speaker, while I was just waiting for the people to trickle in, I guess I could talk on the subject, if you don't mind.
You have the floor.
As soon as the call is satisfied, I'll be seated. These people that operate these EMS throughout the district have responded to probably many of the accidents and everything else that many of the constituents that you represent, all of you represent. And it's a vital function, as a matter of fact, in my district to fund these kind of things and to fund them adequately. And like I say, I have taken money, and I continue to do it, out of my capital money each and every year to fund these things. And I'm just down to the point where I don't have the dollars to spend in those areas at the magnitude that I would like to spend them. Regardless of what I get out of the capital, I will be putting projects and I will be putting money into these projects regardless of how small it may be. So has the call been satisfied, Mr. Speaker?
No. In fact, the same person's still missing.
Okay. Well, Mr. Speaker, I would just appreciate, I guess, if the body would take an objective look at this. It is going into a program that may save a life throughout our highway system, throughout the interior of Alaska, ranging all the way from the Alcan border to Fairbanks, down the Richardson, down the Parks Highway, the Glen Highway, etc. So, if you in fact feel as though that these are worthwhile projects and that the EMS should in fact and deserves adequate funding, then I would encourage you to take a hard look at this and support me if you feel that it's appropriate.
Ready for the question? Question before the House. Shall Amendment Number 51 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Excuse me. That was Amendment Number 50. Excuse me. Has every member voted?
Oh, Hoffman's locked.
Mr. Hoffman, how do you vote? Mr. Hoffman votes no. Will the clerk please take the roll? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
15 yeas, 22 nays.
Amendment 50 has failed. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 51 by Schultz to the project title Tetlin Electrification.
Mr. Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
His objection, Mr. Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I may the person that chaired the DEC subcommittee might want to respond to some of the questions that I have about this, but in the village of Tetlin, we have a problem in that there was a BIA school that was built there, and when they left, we have present time an electrification system that is old. In fact, there are parts of the village that you can walk through, and I'm very serious, Mr. Speaker, when I say this, that you can reach up and touch the power lines. And they have tried to fix this, and the people have worked on it, and they have spent a lot of money in this area. They have got open sewage that sets in front of the school that the kids skate on in the wintertime. There's been three cases of hepatitis A in that village. in the last year, and it's because of all of the problems that they have. An upgrading of the electrification system is going to save someone's life in that village, and I'm positive of it. And regardless how the vote comes out on this, this is something that is such a dire need that we're going to have to fund it, and we're going to have to figure out a way. I said this in finance the other day, and I sincerely meant it. I've had people from DEC, Alaska Energy Authority, go out to the village, and they've said that beyond a question of a doubt, this is the worst they've ever seen in any village in the state of Alaska. I'm firmly convinced that once the federal agencies get involved in this, the BIA, the state, DEC, Alaska Energy Authority, once they get involved in this thing, you're going to see the cleanup of Tetlin and the people and the health hazards that have been created over there by some of the wrongdoings of government. You're going to see it as the highest priority in the state of Alaska to rectify. And it's going to cost a lot of dollars to do it. I guess I could have brought pictures and showed you, to try to show you, the impact of what this open sewage is doing. I'd like to show you some pictures of what the power lines look like that run down the houses, or to the houses. But I didn't do that. But this is one of the areas in which and fits well within the realm of the energy, the rail belt energy money. And if there's a single use of this money, there's a single solitary project that could be funded by the rail belt energy, in addition to the needed distribution lines, it would be the Tetlin electrification upgrade and life safety measures that have to be taken from that community. And I honestly and sincerely appeal to the common sense and the logic and the wisdom of this body to assist me in supporting these people to try to ensure that there aren't any lives lost because of the problems that they have. Thank you.
Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A question of information, please. As I recall, when there were the members of the conference committee released from this floor, they were released to go to the conference committee and...
Representative Barnes, out of order. The question for the House is
this
amendment.
I'm placing a call on the House, Mr. Speaker.
Pardon me?
I'm placing a call on the House.
There's already a call placed on the House, Representative.
Well, then I want the members of the conference committee that were excused to go to conference to be here on this floor, instead of being in the lounge playing cards and one missing.
Yes, Representative Barnes, those members are excused. Apparently one of the members is back.
Two is back.
Commission, were they not excused, sir, for a specific purpose?
That's correct.
And should they not return after that purpose has been fulfilled?
Well, I just have to assume, Mr. Martin, that the missing member is still working. He is still excused.
He's doing the lounge.
Mr. Taylor?
Yeah, to get back to the amendment that's before
thank
us,
you.
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to personally thank the representative from Fairbanks for taking the time to answer a question during the last debate. It was obviously a very convincing answer, and the question has been asked here. I sat on the DEC Finance Subcommittee, and I remember discussing with the members of DEC concerns that I had and still have regarding both, in particular, sewage and lagoon problems, but also other health hazard problems within the communities. But since I don't know what action may have been taken. I don't believe any was taken in that committee regarding the community of Tetlin. I would hope that the chairman of the DEC Finance Subcommittee would be able to respond to the question asked by the maker of the amendment.
Ready for the question? Question before the House. Shall amendment number 51 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
16 yeas, 22 nays.
Amendment 51 has failed. Will the clerk please read Amendment 52?
Amendment 52 by Martin to page 74, line 16.
You going to let Mr. Larson vote? Pardon? Representative Larson is back now.
Thank you.
Mr. Martin, on Amendment number 52.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent on Amendment number 52.
There's objection. Mr. Martin, you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, sir. Mr. Speaker, I noticed in the budget of all places, the capital budget, there is a line item there for legal service fees for legislatures. But nevertheless, this reminds me of a debt past due, in the sense that this legislative body over the last 2 years has seen reason to pay the legal fees of those because of the normal process of elections, the normal process of being an elected official, that at times we come to a situation where we find ourselves in defending ourselves for legal reasons, mostly because of the process of being a political person. In this particular case, sir, we have paid in the past for the one half of the legal requirements of a case that was developed in the election of 1988. And the case did develop in such a way that it brought out important information and judicial discoveries pertaining to our current election laws. And at that time, it doesn't matter who was close, who was far, who was ahead or behind. The point was that the court felt it was necessary to pursue these questions and determine on behalf of the citizens what was just and how far the division of election had gone in depriving a fair count, in developing a fair count of those people who voted. And it was in the court decision that perhaps we should have a special election because there was a number of discrepancies. Now, I feel, and others feel, that the person who eventually lost that political race should have been reimbursed. And part of the reason was is because of various reason and personality, he decided not to. But eventually he did file papers, of which I have a copy here, and I checked with some of the other members, and they have had the legal papers, sir, that detail the cost of his particular case to defend the system of free and open election. And it's about $5,000 less than the person who is currently the incumbent. And I think it's just fair, because here you had an individual who got in the political process that we all hope more and more citizens will get involved in. And at times, for reasons beyond your control completely, the contest gets so close, and there perhaps are discrepancies beyond your control as a candidate that causes you to defend your right as the current winner at that time. And in this case here, because he chose, the losing candidate eventually, to participate in the legal arguments, we, the state, benefited. The citizens, democracy, benefit, because we found out there were weaknesses in the system. And it became very valuable, and hopefully valuable, for candidates in this year's election and election from here on to as long as we remain a democracy. So I think it's only fair that this person, because he has filed the proper documents, be reimbursed under similar circumstances in which we have reimbursed other people who have participated in democracy. Thank you.
Ready for the question? Question for the House. Shall amendment number 52 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Clerk, clock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
16 yeas, 23 nays.
Mr. Majority Leader, can I have an advancement motion, please? Mr. Majority Leader?
May substitute for House Bill 463 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, placed on final passage.
There is objection. Mr. Gall? You have the floor, Mr. Gall, and a motion to advance.
In order for me to make a decision as to my feelings on this bill, I need some information on certain sections. I'd like to know from somebody who knows about this bill what the appropriation in Section 22. Mr. Speaker, shall I just list my questions rather than do them one at a time? Would that be the most convenient way for you, sir? Or would you like an at ease?
I wouldn't mind having it easier to understand what the problem is. House, please come back to order. Mr. Gall.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I guess there's not much point.
You ready for the question? Question for the House of Shell. Committee substitute for House Bill number 463, Finance, amended House, advanced from second to third reading on the same legislative day. Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Mr. Gall? All changes to no to yes. Mr. Swackhammer?
No to yes.
Mr. Swackhammer changes to no to yes. Mr. Lehman?
Yes to no.
Mr. Lehman changes from yes to no. Any other member? Clerk, please take the roll.
24 yeas, 15 nays.
Motion to advance fails. The bill will appear in third reading on tomorrow's calendar. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
Senate Bill 138, amended by Fisher, an act relating to the training of foster parents. The Hess Committee has considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute by the Hess Committee with the same title and do pass. Concurring Gall, Grunberg, C. Davis, Jackal, Boyer, and Ellis. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move that the Hess...
Mr. Could you stand at ease for just a moment? House, please come back to order.
Speaker, after announcements, it's intention to recess until 8 o'clock.
And just a commentary from the chair here. I know that we've been doing a lot of announcing that we're going to meet at a certain time and then not meet at that time. This evening, I will be here at 8 o'clock, and if there's a reason why we aren't going to be able to meet then, I will announce it at that time. But please try to be prompt. We do intend to finish our calendar this evening. So this 1 hour should give people time to have whatever meetings they need and have time to eat. Other announcements? Mr. Davis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ledge Council needs to meet upon adjournment, and we have to approve a contract for moving. And
where's the meeting, Mr. Davis?
It'll be in the Speaker's chamber immediately upon adjournment.
Mr. Boucher?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House State Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30, we've got a number of important pieces of legislation, and we are still tracking on what the other body is doing on the ethics legislation and attempting to stay on top of that. I'd like to point out in this particular area...
Mr. Boucher, excuse me. This all we need is announcements that are going to be pertinent between for the next hour, if you wouldn't mind.
All right,
we'll get another chance for announcements later this evening.
Fine, thank you.
Mr. Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Judiciary will meet at 7:15, and we are going to take up subsistence and Senate Bill 297, and then see if we can get into our calendar for today. So if members would please be prompt.
Thank you. Other announcements? Mr. Davidson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Resources Committee will not meet today, but we'll meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Thank you.
Mr. Donnelly?
Yeah, Labor and Commerce will try to meet at 7:30, Mr. Speaker.
Other announcements? Other announcements?
Yes.
Mr. Larson?
The Finance Committee meeting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
Other announcements? Mr. Majority Leader?
Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 8.
We're in recess until 8 p.m. House, please come to order. Back to order. Did the clerk finish reading the next item on today's calendar? Can I get a motion to adopt the Hess Committee substitute?
So moved, Mr. Speaker.
There's a motion to adopt the Hess Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 138. I'd suggest the lack of a quorum, although I think we have to have a quorum. We will. I will call the House on the motion to adopt the Hess Committee substitute, and we'll stand at ease. Missing the Judiciary Committee and Representative Schultz. Is that correct? I'll lift the call if people are interested in pursuing I have sent the Sergeant-at-Arms to the Judiciary Committee and instructed him to retrieve those members. In the meantime, we could attempt to continue our business here. The Sergeant has also been instructed not to return without them. Mr. Pettyjohn?
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to have to place a call until I can talk to the sergeant.
Okay, there's a call in the House. So. You have unanimous consent for that motion. House, please come back to order. House, please come back to order. Mr. Sergeant, is the call satisfied? The motion before the body is to accept the adopt the Hess Committee substitute for Senate Bill 138. Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the Hess Committee substitute has been adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments? Mr. Majority Leader?
Speaker, I move that Senate Bill the Hess Committee substitute for Senate Bill 138 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's objection. Are you ready for the question? The question before the House. Shall House Bill or Senate Bill number 138 advance from second to third reading? Members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote? Clerk lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
22 yeas, 17
motion
nays.
Motion fails. The bill will appear in tomorrow's calendar, third reading. Would the clerk read the next item on today's calendar? Mr. Jacko?
Introduction of guests.
Without objection, Mr. Jacko.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce several people from Sandpoint. One is my staff, and the other person is visiting us here in Juneau. Rosemary Nelson of Sandpoint and
Ingrid Jacobson of my staff.
Boyer, under introductions.
Yes, Gallery A is a great, very good friend of mine, a resident of District 20, Dr. Michael Graff.
Mr. Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce a former teacher of mine who's sitting in Gallery A. And the only problem is now people wonder, when they look at the two of us, which one is the student, which one's the teacher, Don Oberg.
Yeah. Clerk, read the next item on today's calendar. Under introductions, Mr. Taylor.
Good friend of mine and a strong advocate for her group, Ms. Judy Sayle.
Clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 335, Finance by the Finance Committee. An act relating to health maintenance organizations and providing for an effective date. The HES Committee has considered the bill and recommends as follows. Signing Dupass, Ellis. Having no recommendation, C. Davis, Boyer, Gall, and Grunberg. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader, I'll place a call on the House.
Speaker, could we have a brief at ease?
Stand at ease. Yes. We're going to work. Mr. Majority Leader? Without objection, under introductions.
Mayor of the City of Kenai and a candidate for Lieutenant Governor John Williams.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Speaker, I move that committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 335, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's an objection. You're ready for the question. Question for the House is shall Senate Bill 335 advance for second and third reading on the same legislative day? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
23 yeas, 16 nays.
Motion fails. If the clerk reads the next, the bill will appear on tomorrow's calendar in third reading. The clerk read the next item on today's calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 374, Judiciary by the Judiciary Committee. An act amending the definition of alcoholic beverage and providing for an effective date.
I'm going to place a call on the House for the remainder of today's calendar.